In a night sky, the stars of the constellation Orion swirl to form the letter O. An Orion Pictures release. Through Warner Brothers, a Warner Communications company. A John Peters production. On a golf course, a sprinkler comes on. Chevy Chase. Rodney Dangerfield. Ted Knight. A bulge underground moves toward us, then across the golf course past one of the holes. And Bill Murray is Carl. A gopher pops its head out from the ground. It looks at the sprinklers watering the course and starts a laid-back dance. Caddyshack. Nobody's looking for me. Why you got to give me a fight? It's just petty. In a home.
All right, kids. Rise and shine. Let's go, everybody. Let's go. Come on, girls. Come on. Enough with the hair. Come on. It's the deck. Let's go.
Children of all ages pour out of bedrooms.
Okay, let's go.
Danny, turn off that radio.
Hoppy, hoppy, hoppy.
The kids stand in line for the bathroom.
Hey, Kev. Talked to Peace to Larry last night. He's going to get that training bra back here real soon.
Who's in here?
Danny,
all right. Shut up.
Danny, don't be naked. You think you're cool, Danny.
Who are you? What's your name?
Dennis.
Dennis.
When are you
going to
get back here?
Honey, who is this?
That's your nephew.
What are we running, a restaurant?
Danny walks to his father.
Did you get out yesterday?
Yes, twice. Caddy from TriWeb in the morning and I had doubles in the afternoon.
How much is that?
It's about $30 plus tips.
Well, put it in the college fund. It's like a three-year-old. I have to tell him every time he gets money in his pocket.
As soon as you guys get back from Little League, let's get some painting done in this house.
The Douglas has got baked brick. You don't have to paint.
Now, he's the Douglas is. Oh, come on, Jonathan, bad boy. Why don't you give the St. Colby's scholarship people a call?
I don't know about that place anymore, you know. I talked to a guy who went there and said there were only two girls and they were both nuns.
Ah, I saw that. That's about $10 in change.
I had a couple of burgers and some Cokes for lunch.
How many Cokes?
Four or five.
What are you, a diabetic?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, you're not leaving this house till we settle the college thing.
I'm telling you,
something lined up by September. I'm going to ask Tom Burdick to put him on at the lumber yard.
He's not going to work at the lumber yard.
Well, he isn't going to be a caddy all his life, is he?
Danny climbs down a fire escape, swings onto the porch, and gets on his bike.
Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let
As he rides through a wealthy neighborhood, he looks at the large houses with a smile on his face. He rides past a sign that reads Bushwood Country Club, private, members only.
Listen to me.
Rides up to the clubhouse, gets off his bike, and carries it past two people riding horses. Later, a golf ball is hit over a water hazard. Danny's caddying.
Hey, Mr. Webb. Can I ask you something?
Sure thing. Shoot, Timmy.
Danny. When you were my age, did you ever have trouble deciding what you wanted to do with your life?
No,
I've never had that problem, really.
Why?
Forget it. I didn't think you'd understand.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. So what's the problem?
I don't know. Did you have to take that Cooter preference test when you were a senior in high school?
Oh, yeah, I took it. They said I should be a fire watcher. What are you supposed to be?
An underachiever. I gotta go to college. I gotta.
Danny, this isn't Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia, is it?
Nah.
I didn't think so. No, the thing is, really, do you want to go to college?
In Nebraska? Besides, it costs like $8,000 a year.
Hold on, Danny. I think I'll let you, $250 yesterday? I can't foot the bill for everything around here. It's not asking for money.
It's just that my dad, he can't afford it. I haven't even told him about the scholarship I didn't get. I'm going to end up working in a lumber yard the rest of my life.
What's wrong with lumber? I own two lumber yards.
I notice you don't spend too much time there.
Not sure where they are.
They stop walking, and Webb looks out across the golf course.
I like you, Betty.
It's Danny, sir.
Danny, I'm going to give you a little advice. There's a force in the universe that makes things happen. And all you have to do is get in touch with it.
Webb puts on a blindfold.
Stop thinking. Let things happen. And be the ball.
Danny nods as Webb gets ready to swing.
Find your center. Hear nothing. Feel nothing.
He swings. The ball sails over a water hazard and lands close to the pin.
That was kind of incredible, sir.
You try it, Danny.
Pardon me?
Pardon you?
Here. The blindfold fell over his mouth.
You try it.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Danny takes the blindfold and puts it on.
Just relax.
Webb hands him a club.
Find your center. Picture the shot, Danny. Picture it. Turn off all the sound.
Danny gets ready to swing.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
that. Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking. I'm not talking now.
Be the ball. Danny swings, but it lands in the water. Webb puts his arm around him as he takes off the blindfold.
Where'd it go? Right in the lumber yard. It's okay, we'll work on it.
A Rolls Royce pulls into the country club as the Gopher burrows through the golf course. The man driving the Rolls sees the pin at the 14th hole wobbling. He stops the car and gets out. He sees the burrow carved all around the green. The pin slides down and disappears into the hole, and the man runs toward it.
I finish!
Sir!
Do you know what I just saw?
No, sir.
A gopher!
Gopher? Where?
Do you know what gophers can do to a golf course?
Why, sir, I think they're tunneling in from that construction site over yonder.
Chervik Construction Company?
I'll slap an injunction on them so fast it'll make their head spin.
You better get rid of those gophers, or I'll be looking for a new greenskeeper. Is that clear?
Oh, aye, sir. Very clear, sir. Yeah. I'll put my best man on it.
A greenskeeper watches women in short skirts play golf.
Mrs. Crane, I'm looking at you. You wore green so you could hide. I don't blame you. You're a tramp.
Oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was right where you wanted it.
Oh, Mrs. Crane, you're a little monkey woman, you know that? You're a little monkey woman. You're lean and you're mean and you're not too far between either, I bet, are you, huh? Would you like to wrap your spikes around my head?
Calm your eyes, man. I told you to cut the long grass on the 13th and I'll move the practice green.
Carl looks at him.
I was unavoidably detained.
He pulls Carl away.
Hey, you can forget about the 13th and the practice green. I've got a more important job. I want you to kill every gopher on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Golfers! You great kid, not golfers! The little brown furry rodents!
We can do that.
Why?
We don't even have to have a reason.
Do it, man!
All right, let's do the same thing, but with gophers.
McVittish hits him with his hat and walks away as Carl pulls aside from a tree.
It's not my fault nobody can understand what you're saying.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss. At a building with a sign that reads Caddyshack, a man is on the phone.
Yeah, that's some three. And I'll take the Yankees even. Because I'll call you back. Mm-hmm.
He walks to another phone.
Danny check. Yeah.
Danny hands him a ticket through a slot in a door.
What do you got?
He gives Danny money.
All right. I'll be right up. Come in.
Yeah, man.
Take over for me. I'll be right back.
He approaches some caddies.
Joe.
On the golf course, a young caddy is with two elderly golfers.
Your ball's right over there. Go straight and you can't miss it. Mrs. Havercamp, you go that way, and it's right over... Mrs. Havercamp, you need this.
Oh, I might at that.
Yeah.
With a cigarette hanging from the corner of his mouth, the caddy hands a club to Mrs. Havercamp, and she walks toward a water hazard.
Mrs. Havercamp, your ball's right over here, sir. It's right there.
He hands Mr. Havercamp a club. And Mr. Havercamp addresses the ball, but faces the wrong way.
No, Mr. Havercamp, the green's right over there. It's that way. Look, sir, just bend a little bit that way and swing away and just straight up. It's fine. Great.
The caddy points him in the right direction, and Mr. Havercamp swings, but misses and stumbles.
Whee! That's a peach, son.
Her ball landed in the water.
Oh, dolly, I'm hot today.
Mr. Havercamp's ball hits a tree, then sails toward the caddy's head, and he ducks. Later at the caddy shack, an exhausted Tony hands his ticket through the slot in the door to Danny.
I can't pay you. Lou has to.
Where is he?
He's out.
I can see that he's out, numbnuts. Give me a Coke.
Tony gives him a dollar.
One Coke.
Danny passes him a Coke and some change.
Hey, wait a minute. That's only 50 cents.
Yeah, Lou raised the price of Coke. He's been losing it to track.
Well, I ain't paying no 50 cents for no Coke.
You ain't getting no Coke. You know what I'm talking about?
Danny takes the Coke and gives back the dollar.
You had it. Come on, open up this door. Open up this door.
Glad you jerk.
Jerk.
Tony punches the metal grate in front of Danny's face.
Come on, Danny.
Whoa, fight it, baby.
He reaches through the slot.
Hey. What's going on? Open up, man. Come on.
Out. Sure you don't need me for nothing.
No.
Danny walks out from behind the door and Tony stares at him.
Hi, guy.
With a golf glove on,
he
pats Danny's face.
Hey, I think you and I ought to go outside and have a little talk.
Talk?
They go out.
My friend, you have no idea how happy this is going to make me.
Well,
I am going to enjoy this thoroughly.
I hope that means both of us.
Couldn't we just arm wrestle or something, buddy?
It's my brother. Come in.
Tony's brother climbs onto the roof of the caddy shack.
What is that, Tony?
Okay, Newman. Now, who'd you say the jerk was, jerk, huh?
He jumps off the roof onto Danny's back. Danny swings around, and Tony's brother's feet knock over a gumball machine. Young caddies grab the gumballs from the broken machine as Lou runs out and breaks it up. He grabs Tony's brother and slams him against a sign.
What's that sign say?
No bare feet.
What's that sign say?
No fighting.
What's it mean?
No fighting.
You only need one gumball machine. What's that candy wrapper doing there?
Don't you see it? Well, pick it up!
A caddy picks up a wrapper from the ground.
I'm going to put it right on the line. There have been a lot of complaints already. Fooling around on the course, bad language, smoking grass, poor caddying. If you guys want to get fired, want to be replaced by golf carts, just keep it up. All right, one announcement. Carl Lipbaum died last week in summer school from a severe anxiety attack.
I heard he swallowed his vomit during a test.
However it happened, he was a good caddy and a good kid.
He was a brown nose, Lou. You hated him.
Shut up. That means the caddy scholarship is available again. And anyone who's interested should go see Judge Smales.
And kiss his ass.
That would help. All right, let's move out. We got golfers waiting. Let's go. You, Angie, pick up that blood.
Danny goes to Lou.
Hey, Lou. What kind of grades do I need for this caddy scholarship deal?
Well, if you've been a good caddy, I think they're kind of lenient.
In the clubhouse.
Do you have any... Eight.
The Rolls Royce owner walks in.
Don't you have homes?
He looks at a man giving a massage.
Porterhouse.
Yes, sir, Judge.
There's a brown Audi parked in my parking space.
Yes, sir.
Get a tow truck over here and have it hauled away immediately.
Right away, Judge. Right away, sir. Sir.
The man getting the massage runs out wearing only a towel.
Oh, Porterhouse.
Yes, sir, Judge.
Yes, sir.
Look at the wax buildup on those shoes. This is fine leather. I want that wax stripped off there. I want them creamed and buffed with a fine chamois. And I want them now. Chop, chop.
Got him, Judge.
Baldy, get dressed. You're playing golf today.
No, I'm not, Grandpa. I'm playing tennis.
You're playing golf, and you're going to like it.
What about my asthma?
I'll give you asthma.
Webb walks up.
Todd, what did you shoot today?
Oh, I don't keep score, Judge.
Oh, well, how do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
You know, you should play with Dr. Beeper and myself. I mean, he's been club champion for 3 years running, and I'm no slouch myself.
Don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch.
A convertible Rolls Royce pulls up to the club. A young valet opens the passenger side door, and a man in a striped sweater hands him money.
Yeah, kid, park my car, get my bags, and put on some weight, will you?
His driver is taking photos.
Hey, Wang, what's with the pictures? It's a parking lot. Come on, will you? I think this place is restricted, Wang, so don't tell me you're Jewish. Okay, fine. Hey, kid, I'm Al Chervik. I'm playing with Drew Scott today. This is my guest, Mr. Wang. No offense. Oh, I can maybe have a half dozen of those Vulcan D10s and set my friend up here with the whole schmear. You know, clubs, bags, shoes, gloves, shirt, pants. Hey, orange balls. I'll have a box of those. Give me a box of those naked lady tees and give me two of those. Give me six of those. Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Judge Smales is wearing the same hat.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Chervik rolls his eyes and Smales takes off the hat and leaves. Outside, Lou is giving caddy assignments.
Okay. Judge Smales, Smales the Third, Dr. Beeper, and Bishop Pickering. Who wants it, huh?
Yeah, Lou, right.
I'll take Smales if nobody wants it.
Oh, Brown.
Hey, thanks, Lou.
Tony walks to the golf bags where a much smaller caddy is looking at Chervik's huge bag.
Hey, this is ridiculous. Let me carry that one.
I can do it.
Tony picks up a bag.
Sure?
Yeah.
Tony walks away. Struggling, the small caddy pulls the bag away from the others. He puts his arm under the shoulder strap, bends over, and hoists it up behind him. He tries to walk, but the bag's weight spins him around. An attractive blonde woman in a tight tennis shirt walks up. Tony, his brother Angie, and another caddy stare at her.
Donna with meatballs.
She walks past Danny and two other caddies.
Turd! Baldy! How many times have I spoken to you about your language?
Sorry, Grandpa, I forgot.
Lacey!
Smales turns to the woman.
Bishop Pickering, Dr. Beeper, this is my niece, Lacey Underall.
Lacey's mother has sent her to us for the summer.
Must be a nice change from dreary old Manhattan.
Yes, I was getting really tired of having fun all the time.
Ah!
Double turd!
Spalding!
Hey, so where do we tee off?
Al,
hey, boy!
Al,
how are you?
Hey!
We're all set to go. You're my friend over here, don't you?
Sure.
How you doing? Okay, right, okay. What, are we waiting for these guys? Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Smales looks at Chervik as he gets ready to tee off. He wiggles his hips, then bends and straightens his knees several times. He raises and lowers his club over the ball. Then, gripping the club, he bends and straightens his elbows. Finally, he rests it behind the ball and looks down the fairway. But he lifts the club again and rotates it.
Let's go while we're young.
Mind, sir. Trying to tee off.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice.
He slices it into the woods.
Yeah.
Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you nothing.
He walks toward his ball, and Danny follows with his golf bag.
Judge Smales, sir, can I talk to you?
Want a new driver?
No, he's not my type. And that's a joke. I'm kidding. Yeah, give me the driver, will you?
A remote control makes the club pop out of the bag.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
In the trees, Smales pretends to flatten the grass near his ball, but kicks it forward.
Don't count that. I was interfered with.
Yes, sir.
By the way, what did Mr. Webb shoot this morning?
Well, he doesn't keep score, sir.
Oh. Yes, I know, but just guess. 80?
More like 68, I think.
I don't believe it. Really?
Oh, yes.
Chervik swings, and Smales swings.
Four!
Fine shot.
Chervik's ball hits Smales in the crotch.
Oh! I should have yelled two!
Why don't we walk this off, sir?
Oh!
Tony is carrying Chervik's bag.
Hey, what do you got in here, rocks?
Are you kidding? When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
He puts the bag down.
So what?
So what? so let's dance.
Chervik turns on the car radio in his golf bag, snaps his fingers, and kicks his legs out to dance. Smail swings.
Now, what the devil?
He looks toward Chervik's foursome and sees them all dancing.
The man's a menace.
Mr. Wang and his caddy are dancing the bump.
Cut that off!
Danny hands Judge Smails another club.
Music is a violation of my personal privacy. He's breaking the law.
Really? You know, I've always been fascinated with the law, sir.
Oh, really? What areas?
Oh, all areas. Personal privacy, noise statutes. You know, I plan to go to law school after I graduated, but, looks like my folks won't have enough money to put me through college.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
Smails walks away and Lacey walks up.
Nice try.
Elsewhere, Carl is holding a thick hose between his legs as he drags it across the grass.
Great big gobs of greasy granny gopher guts. How about a nice cool drink? Varmints, scum, slime, menace to the golfing industry. You're a disgrace, and your varmints, you're one of the lowest members of the food chain, and you'll probably be replaced by the rat.
He puts the hose into a hole in the ground, but the gopher pops up from another hole, and Carl sees him.
Well, I have been pushed. I think it's about time that somebody teach these varmints a little lesson about morality and about what it's like to be a decent, upstanding member of a society.
He tries to grab the gopher.
Hunky Carl.
Ah!
He stuck his hand down the hole and the gopher bit it.
Okay, I guess we're playing for keeps now. I guess the getting around is pretty much over, huh? I guess it's just a matter now of pumping about 15,000 gallons of water down there to teach you a little bit of a lesson, is that it? I think it is.
Water gushes through the gopher tunnel and the gopher runs. Above ground, geysers of water spray up from other holes on the golf course. On the course, a beer tap and Dixie cups rise up from Chervik's golf bag.
Hey, you guys are brothers, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, what is this, a family business or what? You know, they say for Italians, it's a skilled labor, you know that?
No, actually, I'm a rich millionaire. You see, my doctor told me to get out and carry golf bags a couple of times a week.
Hey, you're a funny kid, you know? And what time you do back in Boys Town?
He has a club with a long scope on it.
There we are, huh? Albert Einstein gave me this, you know? Yeah.
Aiming with a scope.
Nice man, nice man.
It flashes yes, and he putts.
Made a fortune in physics.
The ball goes in.
Hey,
Danny is with the bishop.
I'll tell you, son, my main satisfaction is working with young people like yourself down in our new Lutheran Center. Why don't you drop by sometime, huh?
I've often thought of entering the priesthood.
Oh, are you Roman Catholic?
Danny nods.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you can't come.
The bishop walks away, and Lacey walks past Danny.
Go for it.
Another caddy approaches.
You know, I've often thought of becoming a golf club.
Danny shoves him.
Not bad, huh? I'll have 2,000 more units in the next 2 years. Hey, I bet they'd love a great shopping mall right here. Condos over there. Plenty of parking. I tell you, country clubs and cemeteries, biggest wastes of prime real estate. Well, dead people. They don't want to be buried nowadays. Ecology, right? Ask Wang, he'll tell you. We just bought property right behind the Great Wall, on the good side.
Smails and his foursome walk up to a snack bar on the course as Spalding reads the menu.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
The young woman working the snack bar meets Danny behind it. He sets down Smail's clubs as she gives him a plate of food, and they kiss.
Danny's coming. The judge will see you.
You going out with me tonight, Maggie?
Yeah, to my room. I got to work in the dining room tonight. Come work with me. You can bus tables.
Never done that.
It's easy. You fill the water glass. You replace the butter. If they drop a fork, you give them another one.
I don't think I can handle that.
He kisses her again. Later, the bishop makes a putt.
Put me down for five.
Laughing, a caddy signals Danny it should be nine, not five.
Oh, if I can just make this one.
Smails walks to his ball, which is about a foot and a half from the hole. He stands over the ball, bends and straightens his knees a few times, then starts his swing.
Hey, Smails! $1,000 you missed that putt.
What a nerve.
He's on the 18th green, and a crowd gathers. He glares at Chervik. He putts and misses it.
You.
He raises his club toward Chervik, then throws it in the air and it flies toward the clubhouse.
Oh, my God!
Jeez.
I did not throw
what
it.
What if you didn't throw it? How the hell did it get here?
It slipped.
Slipped.
Seems to be the problem.
He almost killed my wife with his damn club.
It was an accident. It slipped out of my hands.
I noticed your grips were worn, sir. I should have mentioned to you before. I could put some stickum on there for you. It's my fault.
It's a good idea. Next time, be more careful. Kids, what are you going to do? Look, I'm terribly sorry this happened. I'll pay for your lunch. I'll pay for the umbrella. Danny, see you at the table. Sign your card.
Dr. Beeper helps a woman up off the floor of the clubhouse patio. Danny and Smales sit at a table.
Yep. Thanks for helping me back there. You're a good caddy, something to be very proud of. Hey, do you know we're giving another caddy scholarship this year?
Oh, yes. I heard something about that, sir, but my grades in high school weren't actually that outstanding.
There are more important things than grades. Winning the caddy tournament, for instance. Might look pretty good on a young fella's application.
Well, I'm sure gonna try, sir.
This is for you.
He puts a tip in Danny's hand.
Tell Ty Webb I'm gunning for him. He's as good as he says he is. He's gotta play me to prove it.
Okay, I will, sir.
Good boy.
Thank you.
Good boy.
Thank you.
As Smales walks away, Danny sees that he just gave him coins. He throws them on the table and drinks a leftover cocktail. At night, Carl's in the groundskeeper's shed surrounded by bags of fertilizer.
License to kill gophers by the government of the United Nations. Man free to kill gophers at will.
He's put a flashlight on a rifle.
To kill, you must know your enemy. In this case, my enemy is a varmint. And a varmint will never quit, ever. They're like the Viet Cong. Varmint Cong. So what you gotta do, you gotta fall back. That's superior firepower.
He turns the flashlight on.
And superior intelligence.
And aims the rifle.
And that's how she wrote.
Tiny white lights decorate the trees outside the clubhouse. Inside, a banner reads, Happy 4th of July. People are dancing to a band, and Danny is in a busboy uniform. He approaches Smale's table and starts serving them butter.
You gonna eat your fat?
Oh, dang.
You're looking lovely this evening, Mrs. Smales.
I thank you, Doc.
Danny serves Lacey.
Lacey, you'd be interested in knowing that this uniform was given to me by the captain of the Lynx of St. Andrews, Scotland. They invented the game there, you know, except they call it golf without the L's, we do.
I think I have enough butter now.
Right. If you need any more.
Sure.
He gave her a plate full of butter, but sees Maggie watching and goes to her.
I tell you, when Mona died last winter, I said to myself, Al, if you keep busting your hump 16, 20 hours a day, you'll end up with a $60 million funeral, you know? Hey, Doc, can you scare up another round for our table over here and tell the cook this is low-grade dog food, all right? And here, take this for yourself, okay? Gee, I had better food at the ball game, you know? I tell you, this steak still has marks where the jockey was hitting it. Well, anyway, today I just stick to real estate. You know, with the market these days, if you own anything but land, you own a popcorn farm. Oh, somebody's stepping a duck.
Smales and his guest look disgusted as Chervik gets up and pats the back of a man at a nearby table.
The graveyard is two blocks to the left, okay?
In the kitchen, the chef picks up a cleaver and two cooks hold him back.
Hey, where's the bar? Let's have some drinks here. See what's going on for crying out loud. Hey, waiter, here, this is for you, all right?
Chervik walks to Smales.
Captain Hook? Well, how about the grand you owe me, huh? Ah, forget about it. I'm just kidding, all right? Oh, this your wife? Oh, a lovely lady. Hey, baby, you're all right. You must have been something before electricity, huh? Hey, doll, how are you? You live alone?
He turns to the bishop.
Hey, Rabbi, nice seeing you. Look at your arm. Folks, how are you, huh? And this your grandson, huh? Oh, wonderful boy. Nice boy, right? He's a good boy, I'll tell you. Now I know why tigers eat their young, you know?
In the kitchen.
I know why you came here tonight.
Why?
That girl's... Listen, I put that idea right out of your mind. She's been plucked more times than the Rose of Tralee. Biggest tower in Fifth Avenue, I'm told.
Oh.
Outside, the gopher's peeking out of a hole and swaying to the music. Carl has branches glued to his hat. He's carrying 2 six-packs of beer and has the rifle and flashlight slung over his shoulder as he runs behind a tree.
Pay no attention to that bush. moving around over there by that tree. It's just a bush. Nothing even looks twice at. Nothing to be alarmed about.
He looks around and turns on the flashlight mounted on the rifle.
This looks like it could be gravy.
The gopher goes underground. Carl steadies the rifle on a tree stump and looks through the sight.
I smell varmint poontang. And the only good varmint poontang is dead varmint poontang, I think.
Inside, Ty Webb walks into the dining room.
You gotta get out of the hall.
As two women walk by, he looks straight at them and makes a big show of checking his zipper. As another woman passes, he looks at her and flicks out his tongue.
You must meet.
Oh.
Mel Cervic, Ty Webb.
Oh,
Mel built our condo in Palm Beach.
Hey, I need a drink. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, take it easy.
See you in a bit, Albert.
Oh, heads up, but I think someone's giving you the big eye.
Ooh, I remember her from sound.
Ty turns and sees Lacey staring at him. He opens his mouth and exhales smoke through clenched teeth.
Hey, Sabu, can you make a bull shot?
You make a shoe smell?
Very funny, you are. Why don't you get yourself a real haircut? Here, take this, all right?
Thanks.
Look at that one. Well, the last time I saw a mouth like that, I had a hook in it.
Ty and Lacey are on the patio. She's smoking a cigarette.
So, what brings you to this nape of the woods, neck of the wave? How come you're here?
Daddy wanted to broaden me.
In this place? Good luck.
What do you do for excitement?
Oh, I play a lot of golf.
Golf? Nixon plays golf. I bet you got a lot of interesting stories about your ball landing in the room.
So what do you do?
I enjoy skinny skiing. Going to bullfights on acid.
He tries to act cool.
I bet you got a lot of nice ties.
She gently strokes his bow tie.
What do you mean?
You want to tie me up with some of your ties, Ty?
I've got a good idea.
What?
Let's pretend we're a real human being.
She avoids his kiss.
Freeze, gopher!
Carl misses the gopher and shatters a patio lantern near Ty and Lacey, making them jump. Inside, Spalding stands near an empty table, looking around to see if anyone's watching him as he gulps liquor from the half-empty glasses left on the table. He drinks from a snifter, and then a rocks glass without noticing the cigarette butt floating in it. He pulls his cigarette butt out of his mouth and stumbles out the front doors. A couple walking in sees him sway while holding onto the handrail before he staggers to a car and leans into the open sunroof. The couple hurries inside.
Tell you, who is that disgusting man over there?
I tell you, I never saw dead people smoke before.
Guest of the Scots.
Smales and his wife are on the dance floor.
What do you say we bust up this joint, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, you two should get a room, you know? Hey, Ringo, play something hot, will you? And you guys, take some more lessons.
Chervik throws money at the band and with a big smile kicks his feet out and swings his arms around to the music. He dances over to Smales and his wife.
Hey, give someone else a chance. Hey, you lucky devil. Come here, honey. Hey, loosen up, will you? You're a lot of woman, you know that? Hey, you want to make $14 the hard way?
You're no gentleman.
I'm no doorknob either, all right?
I never want to see that man here again.
A couple runs out of the clubhouse and to the car with the sunroof. The man opens the passenger side door and the woman gets in. Then he goes around and gets in the driver's side. He frowns and slowly slides down in his seat. On the golf course, Carl is holding a rake while he stares at women golfers.
Wait up, girls. I got a salami I gotta hide still.
Carl! I told you, today is the day we change the holes. To do it now with no more slacking off.
You off, you fuzzy little foreigner. I'll fill your bagpipes with Tina.
He watches as a woman bends over to pick up her ball.
Oh,
man in the boat overboard.
The women walk away.
Oh, you beast. You savage. Come on, bark like a dog for me. Bark like a dog. I will teach you the meaning of the word respect.
Elsewhere, from behind, it looks like Ty's lining up a putt and Danny's holding the pin.
Mr. Webb?
He's urinating.
I just gotta win that caddy tournament.
Ty zips up.
I owe it to my folks to get that scholarship.
What do you want to go to college for, Danny?
I don't know.
Let me tell you a little story. I once knew a guy that could have been a great golfer. Could have gone pro. All I needed was a little time and some practice. Decided to go to college instead. Went for 4 years. He did pretty well. At the end of his 4 years, it was the last semester, he was kicked out. You know what for?
Danny shakes his head.
It was night putting. Putting at night. The 15-year-old daughter of the dean.
Ty tosses golf balls randomly around the green.
Know who that guy was, Danny?
No.
Take one good guess.
Bob Hope.
No. No, that guy was Mitch Kumpstein, my roommate. He's a good guy. Don't be obsessed with your desires, Danny. The Zen philosopher Basho once wrote, a flute with no holes is not a flute.
He puts one in.
And a donut with no hole is a Danish. He's a funny guy.
He knocks the ball in backwards from between his feet. Then uses the club like a pool cue and sinks another one. As he skips from ball to ball, he kicks one in, backhands another one in with one hand, then hits another that bounces off the rim of the cup.
You missed just that one.
In one physical model of the universe, the shortest distance between two points, it's a straight line in the opposite direction, Danny.
He makes one ball jump over another and into the cup.
Unbelievable.
Thank you very little.
Then taps in the last one. Elsewhere, a golfing trophy stands shiny and majestic against the blue sky. But as we pull back, the trophy's small and dwarfs two even smaller trophies for second and third place. A sign reads 35th Annual Caddy Day Tournament. Lou's holding the clipboard.
Mitchell, you're on the tee.
Wearing dress boots and a shirt unbuttoned to his stomach, Tony tees up with a cigarette hanging from his mouth. He drops the cigarette on the ground and swings.
Nice form. Nice form.
Good luck, sucker.
Danny steps to the tee. He puts down his ball and sets up his shot. He swings, and his ball lands further than Tony's. Later, with another cigarette, Tony swings. He lands near a water hazard in the sand.
Oh, no, nice shot. Right on the beach.
Later, they're on the 18th green.
Okay, Danny, this is for the gold.
Danny places his ball down and picks up his marker.
Got it today, Noonan. Miss.
Smales tugs on Angie's hat to keep him quiet.
Miss.
Tony screams as Danny putts. It goes in, and Danny's parents hug him.
Excellent round.
Top notch.
Oh, thank you. Say, yes. I'm having a little party at the yacht club this Sunday. I'm christening my new sloop. What are you doing this Sunday?
No plans?
Wait. How'd you like to mow my lawn?
Huh?
I figure a college-bound fellow could use a few extra dollars, huh? And when you're finished, why don't you drop by the yacht club?
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Mrs. Noonan takes a Polaroid. Later, Danny walks up to Maggie and other employees.
Maggie, how about we go swimming?
I don't have to swim where. Besides, I've never swum.
I'll teach you.
Why don't you come on in and help me sort my holy cards first?
Inside.
Oh. Maggie's bed.
They're on Maggie's bed, and he's taking off her pants. Danny sees Tony jumping up to the window to look inside, so he pulls down the shades. they kiss as Danny slips his hand down the back of her underwear. On the Bushwood swimming pool sign, a small cardboard sign reads, Caddy Day, Caddies Welcome, 1 o'clock to 1:15. In the shallow end, three kids play with a boat, but Spalding, in snorkel mask and fins, jumps on it. A lifeguard shaving his legs as the caddies run to the pool and jump in with their clothes on. They throw an inflated suit around a woman's neck and knock a waiter into the pool as the lifeguard stands. On the pool deck, Tony takes off his shirt. Another caddy takes off a baseball cap, revealing the long, thick hair she had tucked underneath it. The lifeguard gets hit in the face with a wet towel as a woman goes off the diving board. Tony takes a puff, drops his cigarette, and jumps in as Angie swims to the woman diver.
Don't trip in the water.
She swims underwater and pulls his swim trunks down. He swims away in only a jock strap. Tony covers the air hole on Spalding's snorkel. The woman diver gets out of the pool with Angie's trunks. He gets out, covers his groin with his baseball cap, and chases her.
You put your suit on!
The girl with all the hair jumps off the diving board as Danny and Maggie walk along the pool deck. Angie runs by and Danny smacks his behind with a towel. The caddies splash each other wildly in the water. Tony pulls himself out of the pool and walks up to Maggie, who's sitting on a lounge chair next to Danny.
Hey, Maggie. How was it?
How was what?
Tony glances at Danny.
I guess it couldn't have been that great then.
Oh, let you know, D'Annunzio.
Tony puts on mirrored sunglasses.
All right, stand up.
All right. Okay.
Oh. Danny stands and sees Lacey in a one-piece bathing suit walking toward the pool.
Oh, she's incredible.
Tony peeks over his sunglasses as Maggie looks at Lacey, then looks down at her own body with a frown. In the pool, the caddies stop their horseplay, suck in their guts, and stare as Lacey walks by. Maggie tries to get the attention of Tony and Danny as they stare. As Lacey passes, Tony licks his lips. At the diving board ladder, she looks toward Danny and Tony, who stare as she picks off her high-heeled sandals and climbs up. A caddy's already on the diving board facing backwards, but when she gets to the top, he steps back and falls in. Then Lacey jumps off the board in a perfect swan dive. Tony takes off his sunglasses and watches her swim the length of the pool. He hands the glasses to Danny and walks toward her. Maggie watches as Danny tosses the glasses away. As Lacey comes out of the pool, Tony drapes a towel around her shoulders.
Hi, Mama.
The diver who stole Angie's swim trunks opens a Baby Ruth chocolate bar. She offers some to Tony's caddy, and Angie reaches for it.
Want some?
Oh, give me some.
Who asked you?
Come on, I'm in.
I just asked you.
Please?
Get out
Joey,
of here.
Tony's caddy, Joey, throws the candy bar into the water.
Hey, thanks a lot.
The oblong chocolate bar floats ominously through the pool. The caddies continue to splash and play. The Baby Ruth floats closer to them. Mrs. Smales walks out onto the pool deck.
Come here, you two. All of you. I want you out of that pool at once. Out of the pool, you understand? I don't want to see another caddy's body in this pool. All of you, stop it now. Did you understand what I said? Out.
Oh, Lacey. Lacey's with Tony.
Take your hands off her, young man. Put your clothes back on, my dear. Out, I said. Out, didn't you hear me?
A young girl spots the chocolate bar and everyone rushes away from it. They climb out of the pool frantically. Spalding is still snorkeling.
Spalding, no!
He's the only one left in the pool, and without seeing it, he swims closer to the candy bar. He frantically swims away. Later, the pool's empty, and a man in a hazmat suit is cleaning the bottom of it with a squeegee. Mr. and Mrs. Smales are standing at the edge of the pool.
I want the entire pool scrubbed, sterilized, and disinfected.
The man in the hazmat suit squeegees the candy bar closer to him. He bends down and picks it up. He lifts up his mask, and it's Carl. He holds the Baby Ruth in the air.
Here it is.
Ah.
Carl looks closely at the chocolate bar, then sniffs it.
It's no big deal.
He takes a bite of it.
Ah.
Mrs. Smales faints. Carl looks around the pool as he chews with a smile. A hardtop convertible Mercedes pulls up to a house at night. Lacey gets out wearing a shirt tied at her waist, tight jeans, and heels. Inside, the house is decorated in an oriental style. Ty opens a rice paper door.
Well, hello. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Hi. Busy?
No, come on in.
He puts his hand through a room divider.
I tried calling, but they don't have a listing for Mr. Wonderful.
What spelling did you use? Sorry about this mess. Let me just clean up here. Getting ready for the season.
What, duck?
No. Dolphin. Like a drink? Tuna colada, perhaps?
Anything, Eddie. Who's your decorator, Benihana?
No, I bought most of that stuff back with me from Vietnam.
You were in the war?
No.
He pats his hip and limps to a bar.
Homo. Much better now, though.
With his back to her, he pours a half-empty bottle of Perrier into another half-empty bottle.
Here's an uncashed check for $70,000.
Keep it.
There's a bunch of them. And a summons.
He shakes the full bottle.
It's yours.
Pretty pathetic, Ty.
He sets a cap on the bottle.
Pathetic? Maybe you, Lacey. For me, there's a subtle perfection in everything I do. I have my own standards, my own way.
My uncle says you got a screw loose. Oh,
yeah. Your uncle molests collies.
He hands her a glass of ice.
You're rather,
What?
Attractive for a beautiful girl with a great body. Well, hey! Ooh.
He touches an opener to the bottle and the cap drops to the floor. Later, he's playing an organ. Lacey's sitting next to him with a bottle of tequila and a salt shaker. As she licks salt from her hand, Ty stops playing and watches her. She does a shot of tequila, then sucks on a lemon wedge.
Sing me a love song.
You want it?
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He shakes salt onto his hand.
Stuff's terrible.
It's good. You don't know how to do it.
How do I do it?
I'm going to show you.
He sniffs the salt up his nostrils, sucks on a lemon wedge, and dumps a shot of tequila over his shoulder.
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first. Let's go into the patio.
Shortly after, they're in a pool. He holds her and they kiss. Later, she's lying on her stomach with a towel around her waist.
Let's get a little more oil on us.
He takes off the lid and spills it on her back.
Uh-oh, now I've done it.
He rubs some on his chest.
Get that away from
me. He goes under her towel.
I'm sorry. It's like reaching under the rug, isn't it? There we are.
You're crazy.
That's what they said about Son of Sam. You know something else?
What?
He has a toothpick.
A very qualified acupuncturist.
Don't even think
just
about it.
He eats olives off the toothpick.
But I want you to know about it. It's like acupressure, but it's acupuncture. The slightest.
He touches the toothpick gently to her back.
Rick, and you wouldn't even know.
I'll kill you.
I did not do that.
He rubs her back.
See? You feel looser?
Listen.
I feel like $100.
Forget the massage. Okay? And just kiss me, you fool.
He kisses her.
Mm-hmm. Tastes like...
Slipping.
Condiment.
A sign reads, Rolling Lakes Yacht Club. Danny walks up wearing a captain's hat, a cravat, a double-breasted blazer, and white pants.
Wow!
It was like Dick Cannon.
He pulls the hat low over his eyes and walks away. Dr. Beeper comes out of the water with a pager attached to his swim trunks.
Hey, man. Save me a poke. Gotta do my doctor thing.
He grabs the beeper with his wet hand and is shocked.
Oh, wow.
All right, everybody. It's time to christen the sloop. Come along, children. You can shake your booties down on the dock.
Guests follow Mrs. Smales. Spalding walks up to Danny.
Ahoy, Ploy. Where did you just come from, a scotch ass?
Eat it, Spalding.
My, what a nice-looking young man. You're from Bushwood, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. He's not a member, Grandma. He's a caddy.
Judge Smales invited me at the club.
Oh, of course. You're the young man who wants to be in the Senate.
That's right.
Well, you two look like a couple of boogies. Why don't you just scamper along now? Go along.
May I escort you out, ma'am?
Hold on, son. You try to make time with my best girl, huh? Danny, I want you to meet Chuck Schick. He's clerking for me this summer until he passes the bar. Well, see you on deck, Senator.
Smales looks Danny up and down because they're wearing the same outfit. Then he and Mrs. Smales walk away.
Well, I'm going to law school, too.
Really?
You going to Harvard?
No, St. Copius of Northern...
Where?
Lacey walks up with a man.
Hey, Cary Grant. You want to get high?
Wait a minute. I've only got a little.
Then split, okay, Terry?
Sure.
The man leaves.
Bye, Chuck.
Danny smirks at Chuck, and Chuck walks away.
Guess I'm a little overdressed, huh?
Depends on what's underneath.
Ooh.
Come on.
She leads him away on Smale's sailboat.
I've got a little poem that I'd like to read in honor of this occasion, if I may. Spaulding, get your foot out the boat. It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat. Okay, Pookie, do the honors.
Bless this ship and all who sail on her. I christen thee the Flying Wasp.
She swings a champagne bottle, breaking off the wooden spar on the front of the boat with Danny.
This is your fate line.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey looks at his palm.
Looks like you're going to make a lot of money when you're older.
Yeah? When? How?
Could be in the market or on a game show. Mm.
She licks her finger.
And this?
She drags it across his hand.
This is your saliva line.
What's it tell?
How hot I can get you.
She runs her tongue along his palm. On the sailboat.
Well, don't just stand there. Go get some glue.
Hey! My buddy! Swanson! Full steam ahead! Over there! I want to go over there! Move over, Swanson. I'm driving.
Chervik takes the wheel of his yacht.
Wow!
Wow. He speeds ahead.
Hey, Smale! My baby's been in your whole boat!
Here.
Send me a parking place! I'm coming in!
A fisherman casts a line, and it hooks onto Chervik's boat. The fisherman's face pushes through the water as he's dragged behind it. Chervik's boat speeds towards Smale's tiny sailboat. Chervik races fast. The sailboat and dock sway violently in his wake. A seaplane's flying low over the water. As it glides over Chervik's head, he ducks.
I almost got head from Amelia Earhart.
Four motorboats race toward him, then veer off course to avoid him. In slow motion, they fly into the air over his wake, and several jet skiers speed toward him.
What's this, Hell's Angels?
The skiers fall off their jet skis as they bounce over the powerful wake. Chervik hits a buoy. A man in a rowboat sees the huge yacht coming directly toward him. With wide eyes, he dives into the water just before it crushes his boat.
Reverse!
Chervik quickly turns the wheel, and as the boat turns, it smashes into a dock full of people, and they all splash into the water. He speeds towards Smales and sounds the horn. Smales stands on his boat.
Watch.
He watches the yacht race toward him. Chervik pulls a lever and the yacht stops at the sailboat.
Stop!
Chervik's anchor falls through Smale's boat and water gushes into it.
Hey, you scratched my anchor!
Mr. and Mrs. Smales pull into the driveway of their large home. Inside, Danny's wearing a silk bathrobe and Lacey's topless. She pulls him onto a bed and they kiss. Mrs. Smale's jacket is torn as she and her husband walk upstairs. She's wearing only one shoe as they go into different rooms. Judge Smales turns on the light in his room, sees Danny and Lacey, and throws his jacket on the floor. Downstairs,
please invite him home.
The Havershams and two women walk in. Upstairs, Smales swings at Danny with a golf club. He breaks a lamp and two bedposts.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Lacey shrugs, and Danny runs into the bathroom with his clothes. Downstairs...
Are we still having tea?
In the bathroom, Danny puts on his pants. Smales pounds a hole in the door.
And you? Would you come and loofah my stretch mark?
Mrs. Smales peeks out of the shower at Danny. She looks him up and down and smiles. He smiles back politely. The judge looks through the hole in the door and Danny runs out. He runs past a servant carrying a tea service. The judge bumps into the servant and his tray goes over the balcony.
That must be the tea.
Storm clouds are forming over the golf course. Outside the clubhouse, Carl looks like he's lining up a shot.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack. At Augusta, he's on his final hole. He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think.
He swings a garden tool like a golf club, knocking a flower's petals across the lawn.
Well, he got all of that. The crowd is standing on its feet here at Augusta, the normally reserved Augusta crowd. Going wild.
Two golfers walk out, look at the sky, shake their heads, and go back inside.
For this young Cinderella, who's come out of nowhere, he's got about 350 yards left. He's going to hit about a 5-iron, I expect, don't you think?
He hits another flower.
He's got a beautiful backswing. It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey, young fella, I was hoping to squeeze in 9 holes before this rain starts.
Carl nods at the bishop.
Certainly, Your Eminency.
Take my bag, huh?
Certainly, Your Magnificence.
Okay, come on, chop chop. Let's go.
Carl puts his gardening tool in the bishop's golf bag and follows him. Later, lightning flashes in the darkening sky as the bishop tees one up. He swings. It starts to rain.
Better put this on.
Yeah, but...
That's a great shot, though.
Eureka!
I can't even tell you're hitting the ball, sir. Really clubbing it. Yeah. We better start moving.
The bishop puts on a rain poncho. Later, it's pouring as he puts one past a hole, but the storm winds turn it around and it goes back in.
Did you see that? Miracle, eh?
Nice shot, Bishop. You must have made a deal with the devil.
I could break the club record, theoretically.
You better come in until this blows over.
A man with an umbrella walks away and Carl picks up the bishop's ball.
Well, what do you think, fella?
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
You're right. Anyway, the good Lord would never disrupt the best game of my life.
Later, the bishop swings against the driving rain. The ball drops into a hole filled with water and a frog jumps out.
An infallible young fella.
Later, they're bent against the wind as they walk to another hole. The bishop grabs the strap of his golf bag and pulls Carl along. On the 18th green, Carl pulls the pin from the hole as the bishop putts. The ball rolls past the cup, and he holds his club in the air.
Oh, red fart!
Lightning strikes the club. He drops to the ground, and Carl looks at him cautiously, sets down the pin and the golf bag, and walks away. Later, the sun shining through the trees on the course. Maggie pulls a sweater around her as she walks into the caddy shack. Danny's sleeping on a bench in the locker room.
Hi, Maggie.
You're here early.
Yeah, I kind of slept here last night. Oh, Maggie. I'm in big trouble.
Oh, yeah? Me too. I'm late.
Late for what?
For not being pregnant.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I don't hold you responsible. It's my problem. I can... Daddy!
Maggie. Look. I'm not going to let you go through this alone.
No!
Whatever you decide.
I'm going to have it. I've already decided.
Well, that's it then. We'll just get married.
Oh, God, that's all I need.
Look, I want you, all right?
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Look, I don't want to get married, Danny.
Oh, come on, Maggie. You're just saying that.
No, I'm not. Look, Danny, it might not be yours, okay?
Maggie, I know you're just making this up about the other guy, so I won't have to feel guilty.
Making it up.
All right, well, I'm still willing to marry you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it takes for no wretched!
Maggie walks away and Lou approaches as Danny stares after her.
You're a good egg, Nana. She needs you. Pick up that Kleenex.
Morning, Lou.
Morning, sir.
The judge would like to see a caddy named Danny Noonan as soon as he comes in.
I'm Danny Noonan.
Come with me, please.
Danny follows the man. Shortly after, he's in Judge Smale's office. Smales is at his desk with his back to Danny. Danny quickly tucks in his shirt as he sits.
Judge Smale, sir?
Sit down, Danny.
Smales turns around and hits his leg on his desk. A lamp blocks their view of each other and they strain to look around it.
Danny, I think you know why you're here, so I'll do us both the courtesy of not reviewing what happened yesterday.
Smales pushes the lamp off his desk.
Sorry. My niece is the kind of girl that has a certain zest for living. The last thing any of us need right now is a lot of loose talk about her behavior.
I swear I didn't tell anybody anything, sir.
Good.
Smale stands.
Good, good. You know, despite what happened, I'm still convinced you have many fine qualities, and I think you can still become a gentleman someday. If you understand and abide by the rules of decent society.
He pats Danny's shoulder.
Danny. There's a lot of, badness in the world today. I see it in court every day. I've sentenced boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it. Felt I owed it to them. The most important decision you can make right now is where do you stand for, Danny? Goodness or badness?
I know I've made some mistakes in the past. I'm willing to make up for that. I want to be good.
Good. Good. Very good. You know, I know how hard it is for young people today, and I want to help. Well, just ask my grandson Spaulding. He and I are regular pals.
His smile fades.
Are you my pal, Mr. Scholarship Winner?
He holds out his hand to Danny, who slowly stands and shakes it.
Yes, sir. I'm your pal.
How about a Fresca?
Oh.
Huh?
Smales rubs Danny's hand and pats him on the back. Clubhouse Bar, Smales is with Dr. Beeper and the Bishop.
Another Rob Roy Bishop?
You never ask a Navy man if you'll have another drink. Because it's nobody's goddamn business how many drinks he's had already, right?
Wrong. You're drinking too much, Your Excellency.
Excellency Fiddlesticks. My name's Fred, and I'm just a man, same as you are.
You're not a man, you're a bishop, for God's sakes!
There is no God.
Oh, Webble Man. I didn't see your name on the sign-in sheet for the club tournament. I thought you'd be the man to beat this year.
Guess you'll just have to keep beating yourself.
Mm. Very good.
Ty's playing pool.
Come on, honey, let's go, huh? Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, we're both starving. When do we eat, huh?
You. You have worn out your welcome at Bushwood, sir.
Is that so? Well, who made you pope in this dump, huh?
Bushwood? A dump? Well, I'll guarantee you'll never be a member here.
Member? Are you kidding? You think I'd join his crummy snobatorium? But his whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks. Only reason I'm here is maybe I'll buy it.
Buy? Bushwood?
Smale starts to choke Chirvin.
You
baby! Hey, I'll break it up! Break it up!
No respect.
Gentlemen, please, what's going on?
He tried to choke me. You saw it?
You kidding? He called me a baboon, thinks I'm his wife.
I'm calling the police.
You call the chief of police. I built this condo.
Out. I want him out of here.
He wants you out.
I'll not have another moment here with this man.
I want him out of here.
I never want to see him again.
Judge, come on. Let's be adults here. Let's not mess the place up. We can handle this in private. Let's go to your office. I'll make some drinks for us all. We'll talk about it. Come on.
Smales walks out with Ty, Chervik, and Dr. Beeper. On the 18th green, Maggie's dancing around in her nightgown. She holds onto the pin and skips around it.
Daddy!
Maggie?
She runs to Danny.
Maggie, you flipping out?
No, I'm happy. I'm not pregnant.
Oh,
That's great.
Listen, you were sweet, Nolan. I'm sorry I was hard on you.
No, I deserved it. I've been acting like a jerk. I hate myself. I'm going to get that scholarship.
That's good, isn't it?
No. I've been a creep lately, and I just can't help it.
You're not a creep, Noonan.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
All right, well, maybe you are a little bit.
Well.
Listen, Noonan, you're good deep down. I know you're doing the right thing.
He kisses her.
Thank you, Maggie.
I demand satisfaction.
Oh, you want satisfaction? Well, I'll tell you what's real satisfying. Cash. I'll shoot you 18 holes for $10,000.
Well, I could beat you with one arm.
Well, how about teams then for $20,000? You can have Dr. Frankenputz.
I beg your pardon.
And I'll take Ty here.
Ty's bartending.
Hey, fellas, don't include me.
Ty, come on, you're an ace. Everybody knows it.
I don't play golf for money against people.
What are you, religious or something?
Ty spills his drink.
That's it.
He wipes it up.
Excuse me.
I got it.
Ty, can I have a word with you in private?
Smales walks away.
Sure thing, John.
But Ty's blocked by the bar.
Ty? Ty? Oh.
Smales walks back and they lean over the bar toward each other.
Ty, your father and I prepped together, went to war together, we played golf together. We built this club, he and I. Let's face it, son. Some people simply do not belong.
Ty glances at Chervik.
Let's not cave in too easy.
Ty gives him a friendly tap on the shoulder. Ty points at the judge, punches his arm softly, and stands up straight.
What do you say, Ty?
Let's make it 40,000.
Smale's smile fades.
Hey, great!
Ty puts a hand on his shoulder.
No, Judge. My dad never liked you.
I'll see you two tomorrow morning on a golf course.
Smale's walks out with Dr. Beeper.
Hey, beautiful, beautiful.
The gopher looks in the window of the groundskeeper's shed and sees a crate of explosives.
I have to laugh.
Carl's making plastic explosive animals.
Because I've often asked myself, by foe, my enemy is an animal. And in order to conquer him, I have to think like an animal. And whenever possible, to look like one.
His eyes are half closed as he juts out his lower lip to the side.
I gotta get inside this dude's belt and crawl around for a few days. Who is the gopher's ally? His friend. The harmless squirrel and the friendly rabbit. I'm gonna use you two guys to do my dirty work for me.
He holds two of the plastic explosive animal figures, which look like they were formed with modeling clay.
Look at me. It's the gopher.
He raises a fire extinguisher and crushes the gopher figure. The gopher in the window trembles as he watches.
Is. This is it. It's a Titleist.
Outside, Ty's looking for a ball in the bushes.
$50,000.
He hits the ball and it goes through Carl's window. He slips and falls in the bushes. In the shed, Carl has a hooked garden tool.
All right, show yourself, you little varmint. You got your guts.
Ty walks in with his club.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, hi, Carl. How you doing?
Oh, hi.
Hi. Mind if I play through?
Sure, go right ahead. What are you, getting in a late night or something?
Yeah, I was just loosening up a bit.
And was that your ball I heard rambling through?
Yeah, did you see my ball?
Part of the shed is set up like an apartment.
Titleist?
That's it.
Yeah, it's right here.
This your place, Carl?
Yeah, what do you think?
It's really awful.
Well, I have a lot of things that are on order. You know, credit trouble. I'm an assistant greenskeeper. They say that doesn't mean anything, you know, until I'm the head greenskeeper.
Can you give me a ruling on this?
Well, sit down. Come on.
No, I don't want to stick to anything in here.
Well, here, take this thing off. This is dirty.
Don't go to too much trouble, please.
Carl uncovers the back seat of a car.
Here. Fire up.
He hands him a bottle.
My lips?
Yeah.
Right up think so, Carl.
Just right back.
If I could just borrow a wedge or something and get right... You can open a curtain up out there somewhere, I can get right through that window.
People say, you know, I'm an idiot or something because all I do is cut lines for a living, you know?
People don't say that about you, as far as you know.
Well, I'm working on it, you know, so I don't ever have to... You know, I'm going to be the head greenskeeper. Hopefully within 6 years, that's my schedule. But I'm studying a lot of this stuff so I know it, you know, like... chinch bugs, you know. Manganese. A lot of people don't even know what that is. You know.
Great, Carl. Could I get a...
Nitrogen, you know.
Maybe just open a curtain or something over there and just get right
out. I invented my own kind of grass, too. Did you know that? Look at this. This is registered. Carl Spackler Bent.
Oh, yeah. I've felt grass like this before. I've played on this.
This is a hybrid. This is a cross. Bluegrass, Kentucky Bluegrass, Featherbed Bent, and Northern California Sensimilla. The amazing stuff about this is that you can play 36 holes on it in the afternoon, take it home and just get stoned at a bejesus belt that night on this stuff. I got pounds of this stuff. Here.
No, thank you. No, I don't...
Sir, let's have a little bit of this. I got the big Bob Marley joint. Look at this. Here, try this.
Carl, I really don't do this very often.
You're going to love this. This is dynamite hack. Watch out for this.
Well, maybe one drag on that guy's lower.
Carl lights a cigar-sized joint for Ty.
It's a little harsh. But here, cannonball it.
Ty takes a swig from a bottle.
Right back.
Carl gives him the joint again.
And then one more of these right on top of it. Cannonball! Cannonball coming. Cannonball coming. No.
Ty takes another swig.
Carl, can I have a drop?
Just a drop. Myself.
Ty drops his ball, and it lands on Carl's hybrid grass.
That's fine for me. That's good.
Carl spits.
Can I say something to you, Frank?
Ty, Frank.
You've been acting psychotically lately. What the hell? Why?
Well, I've been a little under strain. I've got to play with Smales tomorrow.
Smales?
Money match, no.
The thing to do with Smales is, he bothers you. I'll take care of him. What you got to do to Smales is, you cut the hamstring on the back of his leg right at the bottom. He'll never play golf again.
Carl.
Because he goes back, his weight displacement goes back, and he stays there. All his weight's on his right foot, he's going to be pushing everything off to the right. He'll never come through on anything. He'll quit the game.
That would work, and I'm going to call you if I need that help.
But seriously, no BS. You ever want to rap or anything, you know, just talk or just, you know, get weird with somebody. You know, buddies for life, I think.
I'll drop by. You drop by my place anytime.
Good. What's your address over there? You're on Briar, right?
Briar. Uh-huh. Two.
You got a pool over there?
We have a pond in the back. We have a pool and a pond. A pond would be good for you. Natural spring.
Oh, yeah. Or you know, the pool or a pond. Anything would be good. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to clean this up.
You go ahead, clean up a little bit. It looks fine to me. Thanks for the dope.
Carl starts a leaf blower.
Four.
And Ty hits his ball. The next day, at the first tee...
Danny, you carry my bag.
Danny switches bags with another caddy as Chervik's Rolls-Royce drives up to the tee.
What's that?
It's an English-made Rolls.
Hoover.
So Chervik's driving on the right side of the car.
Get back there! What do you think you're doing? Get off of here!
Ty's on the left.
Morning, Judge.
This is a golf course. It's not a parking lot. Now you back this thing out of here right now.
Okay.
He's the passenger.
Hey, look at that.
Don't play games with me, Ty. Put that steering wheel over here where it belongs and get this out of here.
I got it, Judge.
Let's play golf.
Leaving the car where it is, Ty gets out and slams his hand in the door.
Don't do it! I didn't do that!
No, I really.
Oh, there's my phone.
Chervik walks to his golf bag.
Gentlemen, it's about
time. Oh, I told you never call me on a golf course.
Gentlemen,
sell. They're all selling, then buy.
Listen to me.
I'll tell you what, let me have
the
call.
Can we start now?
Any coast.
Gentlemen.
What do you want?
Gentlemen.
Tonight is your phone. I just got a call coming.
Gentlemen.
Short distance.
Hey!
Good morning.
Gentlemen, we all know this is illegal and against club practice. I'd like to ask at this time if you gentlemen all agree to waive all sanction against said referee or anything that might get me fired.
Agreed.
Fine. Matches for $20,000 each. Lowest score wins the hole in regulation match play. I have a number of tees in my hand. Your Honor, odd or even?
Odd.
Odd it is. Your Honor, Your Honor.
Lou walks away, and Chervik hands him cash.
Hey, Tiger, here. Keep it fair, will you?
No, I can't.
Lou pockets the money and walks away. Smale steps to the tee, and Ty walks to Danny.
Driver, please. No.
Danny.
Danny points to the caddy next to him, who pulls out a club for Ty with a smile.
Don't smile at me, okay?
Smales tees off, then Dr. Beeper, then Ty, and Chervik. In the pro shop, Porterhouse goes to the man behind the counter.
The judge and Mr. Chervik, $100,000 match oil.
$100,000. The man in the pro shop takes out money.
Five, Mr. Check.
Got it.
People are running across the course to watch the match.
Anybody home?
Carl is holding a plastic explosive squirrel.
Hello, Mr. Gopher. Yeah, it's me, Mr. Squirrel. Yeah, hi. Just a harmless squirrel, not a plastic explosive or anything. Nothing to be worried about. Yeah, I'm just here to make your last hours on Earth as peaceful as possible. Yes, don't mind this. This is doctor's orders and so forth. Hey, you don't mind if I just pop in there for a few laughs, huh? Yeah, that's right. Well, in the words of Jean-Paul Sartre, au revoir, gopher.
With a detonator and wire attached, he dropped the squirrel into a gopher hole. He unspools the wire as he walks away. Meanwhile, Judge Smales is crouching under a tree to get to his ball. He looks at Danny, and Danny turns away. When he's not looking, Smales moves his ball away from the tree as Angie and the other caddies run up behind another tree. A gopher takes Chervik's ball and goes underground.
A kangaroo stole my ball!
Tony is smoking as he caddies for Chervik. Ty makes a putt as the other caddies watch from the bushes.
All right.
Ty looks toward the rustling bushes and the caddies move on.
What's up, Doc?
Carl drops an explosive rabbit with detonator wire down another gopher hole. Smales takes a swing. Dr. Beaver hits out of a sand trap. Ty stands next to Smales, puts his arm around him, and blows in his ear. Smales sees his arm, glares at him, and shrugs him off. Chervik swings, and a huge divot flies in the air. Danny and Ty look at each other and shake their heads. Later at the snack bar, Chervik is adding up his scorecard.
I tell you, I don't understand it. I'm playing the worst game of my life.
Hey, put yourself down, Al. You're not good. You stink.
Spalding is standing alone, and Porterhouse, Lou, and the caddies are watching him from the bushes.
Say, $50 the Smales kid picks his nose.
Come on, buddy. Don't do it.
Here he comes. Now, kid, take your time. Now, don't do it. Come on.
$50 more says
he eats it.
You're off.
Okay.
You're off.
Don't do it, kid. Don't.
There he goes.
Don't.
Yeah!
You can tell.
The kid'll eat anything.
He was hungry.
What do you say, Al?
Shall we press on?
Hey, Judge, cheer up, will you?
My boat needs exactly $20,000 worth of repairs.
And so does your brain. You want to double it?
Fine. $40,000 apiece.
All right, 40,000.
All right, hold on, Charge. That's my officer.
No, you don't. You're in for half of 80,000.
Probably just a routine emergency.
The gopher looks at the explosive rabbit.
Why'd I double it? I tell you, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
I saw Smales before. He was cheating.
Nobody likes a tattletale, Danny. Except, of course, me.
Chervik gets ready to swing, moves his club back and forth, wiggles his knees, and swings. His ball ricochets off a ball washer and hits him in the arm.
Oh, my arm! It's broken!
Good Lord, what has this buffoon done now?
Yeah, let's have a look at that. Well, that might be a fracture at all, no? I'm afraid you forfeit.
Yeah, who says so? The match is a draw.
No, you don't, Chernik. You don't play, you lose, right, Lou?
That's right, Your Honor, unless you want to allow him a substitute.
Huh? Oh, well, Spalding can play out his holes.
Yeah.
Actually, Judge, I think it's up to us to pick our substitute.
Huh? What do you want?
Sonia Henny's out. We'll take Danny Noonan.
Oh, Danny's an employee of the club. He can't work and play, particularly something as illegal as this.
Makes a lot of sense, Judge.
Hey, kid. If you win, I'll make it worth your while.
Chervik winks at Danny.
Well?
Danny takes off his hat.
I'll play.
I guess you don't want that scholarship, do you?
I guess I don't.
I guess you don't.
Danny smiles. Shortly after, he drives a ball. Later, he hits another one. The caddies follow, hiding behind trees. In slow motion, Danny hits out of the sand and lands near the hole. Ty swings, and a bird in a tree catches the ball.
Don't worry, it's good luck.
And Haiti.
Ty hands his club to his caddy. Later, Danny swings again. His ball lands in a sand trap, then bounces out. Ty hits one that rolls past a hole. Smales and Beeper smile.
I got to win this hole. Kind of thought winning wasn't important.
Me winning isn't.
You do.
Great grammar.
Danny.
Ty blocks Danny's path with a club. He points to the ground, then to his face.
See your future. Be your future. May. Make. Make it. Make it. Make your future, Danny. I'm a veg, Danny.
Take it easy, B.
Danny drives the ball. Ty hits over a water hazard, then falls over and sprawls out on the ground. Meanwhile, Carl crawls to another gopher hole, bites the head off an explosive squirrel, and drops the body in.
And the gopher.
The gopher walks toward the squirrel. Carl spits the head into the hole, and the gopher backs away.
Gentlemen, this match is all even. Final hole, Doctor, you are away.
Dr. Beeper lines up his shot. He putts and misses. Smales frowns nervously. Beeper taps it in. Chervik nods. Smales starts to pull the club from his bag, but puts it back.
Spaulding, this calls for the old Billy Barule.
Spaulding hands him a club, sheathed entirely in cloth. Smales removes the cover and holds the club close to his face.
Billy. This is a biggie.
Hold me down, Billy.
$30,000, Billy.
He lines up his putt. And he goes in. Carl has bundled the wires from all his explosives and walks to a detonator. Ty gets ready to putt. He looks at Lacey in the crowd, then lines up his shot. He putts and misses. Carl attaches the wires to the detonator.
Silver wings upon their chest. These are men. America's best.
Danny walks to his ball and Ty hands him a putter.
Don't worry about this one. If you miss it, we lose.
Ty walks away. And Danny crouches to check the lie of his ball. He stands and takes some practice swings.
Hey, Judge, double enough and he makes it. 80,000.
Danny looks up.
What's that, Judge?
You're on!
He looks at Danny.
Well,
We're waiting.
Danny looks at Smales and then at Porterhouse and the other employees. Maggie smiles at him.
Noonan, you can do it.
Jervik, Ty, and Lou nod and smile. Danny checks his lie again and gets ready to putt. Meanwhile, Carl pulls up the detonator handle. Danny swings, and his ball stops at the edge of the cup.
Oh. You lose it, buddy.
Carl pushes the detonator handle, and dirt explodes into the air. The gopher runs, and geysers of flame erupt all over the course. A ball washer vibrates, and the pin at the 15th hole shakes. The crowd watches as flames billow up over the treetops. Lou watches Danny's ball sitting on the edge of the cup. Flames follow the gopher through his tunnel. A huge cloud of black smoke rises into the air. Jervik watches with wide eyes, and Smales brings his hands to his face. Danny's ball starts to wobble. The crowd looks down as the ground trembles under their feet. The ball drops into the hole. The clubs fly out of Jervik's bag, and the crowd rushes to Danny. Ty waves to him, and Danny waves back and points to the hole. Ty tips his cap to him. The crowd follows Danny back to the clubhouse. Carl looks around, lowers his head, and walks away from the flames and smoke.
All right, Smells, that's 80 grand. Now fork it over.
I'll give you nothing, absolutely. You understand? Nothing!
I figured as much. Hey, Moose, Rocco, help the judge find his checkbook, will you?
Oh. Oh, well, hey,
Smales runs.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid.
Amid the craters left from Carl's explosives, the gopher pops up out of a new hole. He coughs up some dirt, looks around, and starts his laid-back dance. Narrative script written by Beth Sharp. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Steve Sherrick, with special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education. The credits read in part, cast, Chevy Chase, Ty Webb, Rodney Dangerfield, Al Jervik, Ted Knight, Judge Smales, Michael O'Keefe, Danny Noonan, Bill Murray, Carl Spackler, Sarah Holcomb, Maggie O'Hooligan, Scott Colomby, Tony Annunzio, Cindy Morgan, Lacey Enderall, Dan Rezin, Dr. Beeper.
Everybody's game. Got to catch a snake. Go now, get it before you run away. Cinderella king. Get it,